I got it from Amazon Prime. Shout out. And
did you have it delivered at her house and then you drove up there?
She actually bought it, so.
Oh, okay.
She bought it from Amazon Prime. Shout out.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. We got a full group. To my right is Chad.
Yo.
And to my left is Emilio.
Hey.
And directly in front of me is Chi.
Hello, everyone.
Yep. We also have someone over here eating salad, but she's not on mic. Hey, Sam.
Hey.
All right. So we got quite
a bit. Hey, this is Sam.
Sorry.
We got a bunch of stuff to talk about right at the beginning here. Mobius X1, Chad, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, last week we had mentioned two new Patreon members. If you're interested in joining us and contributing to our podcast, we have a Patreon account. Just you can look at it on our website. But what we mentioned last week, we had a couple new members and asked them to give us their Steam handle. So one of them responded back with Mobius X1. So thank you, Mobius X1, for your contribution to the podcast. We very much appreciate it.
Yep, we are spending every dime that we get and more. New equipment coming in all the time.
Yep.
And so the t-shirts, we have them in hand. I have everything in packages addressed, ready to ship on Monday. So our first round of t-shirts are being sent out. It's the Hype Train t-shirts.
They look fabulous.
Yeah. We're all wearing them right now.
Except Bobby.
It's a little douchey.
Because you want to tell the audience why Bob's
we're out of mediums already.
I can't believe you didn't order more mediums. That is the most popular size.
I had no idea.
Among gamers.
Apparently, the gamers over on our side thought that mediums were not a popular size.
Well, I was telling Chad this earlier. I buy a lot of clothes off of Jinx, which is actually located not too far from here up in Poway.
Nice. I didn't know that.
And medium is always sold out in the gamer t-shirts.
See, I always thought the mediums were sold out because nobody orders them, so the first two that are ordered gets just
that's what happened with us.
Yeah,
that's you're correct. Happened. You're correct with us.
Yeah. So,
but the lady ones are all sold out. Quotation marks because we only had two and we had two ladies. So
I think we were just testing the first batch, making sure that we're happy with them, and then potentially correcting any issues.
She's very happy that the left and right click are both on her
left.
Boob.
Yeah, but the Moth 3 just barely misses the nipple, so.
Yeah. Next run, though.
That's the mouse wheel.
Yeah, we're going to. I want to do a couple improvements, but next run should
it's
be
like,
tight.
Excuse me, sir. Will you test the DPI on my left tit? No, definitely check out the women's t-shirts. I actually bought a male t-shirt, size large, for my medium-sized boyfriend. He's going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. For sure.
100% cotton, it'll shrink.
For $20. Yeah. If you've got any ladies in your life.
So are we selling these? What's the deal? Do we know?
I don't think we're supposed to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, well, that's the plan. Soon we're going to have these available to purchase on the website.
As of right now, though, the only way to get them is on the Patreon site. So, but hopefully
it's
coming
a DL
soon.
Gaming exclusive.
Yeah, the exclusive one.
And it's a limited run too, guys. Yeah. We're not going to make more
edition,
of these.
Vintage.
Yeah, because we have a lot coming down the pike. A lot of new stuff.
That's Thank awesome. You for using that expression, right, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of people says coming down the pipe.
Yeah, I did up until probably like 2 weeks ago.
It's actually coming down the pike.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. I'm a wordsmith, apparently. All right, what else we got?
Why is your face so red, Witch Hunter?
I don't know. Have you seen my face?
I didn't notice.
I got burnt the fuck out. What happened was apparently I got sent to a Renaissance fair this weekend. I went to the LA Renaissance Pleasure Fair, which is one of the biggest in America, I think. It's a huge.
Please.
Yeah, this is getting weirder by
elaborate
the second.
On the word pleasure.
I don't know why they call it a pleasure fair.
Okay.
You basically walk in there and it's like the Renaissance era, you know. Probably
Did you have any mutton?
60 to 75% of the people are dressed up, including myself. as well as everybody we were with in our group. Everybody was dressed up. Had a great time. Burnt the hell out of my face. The reason I bring this up to get back to gaming is I saw at least three witch hunters from Diablo 3 there. And they fit in perfectly at a Renaissance fair. You know, they're the ones with the high hat and then the high collar or whatever, right? Right? Isn't that what the witch hunter kind of looks like?
Mm-hmm.
And they totally fit in. And if you weren't a gamer, you would have no idea.
Yeah.
But if you were a gamer and then you saw them, you're like, oh, shit.
What are the chances that there's a witch hunter costume for sale and that they're using
somebody is selling that costume because
it's the same one.
Three people had them. One was had the red effects on them,
yeah,
and one had the black effects on them.
What I'm thinking is they're probably not gamers, they're probably Renaissance fair people.
No, you're not dressed up as a witch hunter unless you specific. They probably bought the witch hunter outfit to go to like BlizzCon. And then they had it for Renaissance Fair.
I like that cosplay is blowing up in America.
Oh, what else is cool is I saw at least two different time travelers, like dressed up kind of like, not Morty, but the other guy.
Oh, Rick?
Yeah, dressed up kind of like Rick, just walking around the Renaissance Fair.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
God, that's so awesome.
And I was seeing a couple steampunk, and I was like, what the fuck? Why would you dress up as steampunk for a Renaissance Fair? And apparently the week before, the previous weekend had been a steampunk weekend.
Oh, cool.
So it was a lot of fun. It was a blast.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is really cool.
So, all right, what else we got?
We're number one on the Google Play Store.
When you say number one, though, I wanted some detail. If you go PC Gaming, find us?
Yeah, if you search for PC Gaming on the Google Play. They just added podcasts, and maybe that's why, but there's like seven behind us, so I don't know why we're number one, but we're number one.
Awesome. Well, thank you if you're listening from the Google Play Store. Thank you very much for listening.
Yep.
And appreciate it. So right now we're on our website, obviously, dealgaming.net, iTunes,
Stitcher.
Google Play, Stitcher, hopefully some more coming up down the pike this time.
So. Yeah. Can't use that phrase enough times.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Never gets old.
I'm pretty sure down the pipe works in certain scenarios.
It definitely does.
Yeah, my girlfriend slides down the pipe. Don't get that one twisted.
Way to bring it up sexual.
Yeah. I was looking more like snowboarding or
or like at the development pipe if we're talking about games. Mm. But
sure, anyways. Whatever. I tell you to stop talking, but it's a podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, what's this on last week's episode?
Okay, so I was going to do I ran the episode through our system for what we do for what we meant.
Okay.
And didn't get a whole lot of hits back, so I didn't do a what we meant this episode.
Okay.
But I did a little clip of that the system somehow put together. So the system put together a little clip. So if you didn't catch last week's episodes, this kind of gives you a little clip of what happened last episode. Bobby, do we have that queued up or?
Believe so.
All right, let's do it.
Last week on the podcast, we learned about Emilio's particular dressing habits.
Thank God you stopped being the no underwear guy, too.
Yeah. No, that still goes on.
Wow.
Yeah.
We heard how Bobby likes to get nasty.
You know, bat, 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 reload, bat, 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 reload.
And Emilio as well.
Now it's just straight fucking...
Just straight fucking.
Yeah, straight fucking craziness. Then you go in the next room, straight fucking in that one, too.
Chad once again has problems forming words.
And it's called the FSS Select Tool.
Bobby reveals a little more of his backstory.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned on the podcast, but I used to do upholstery work for like 3 years.
No.
Like in cars, boats.
I think so you're really told secretly... Me I think you're secretly 87 years old.
And Chad and Emilio discuss proper rig setups.
Where the center column slightly shoves up my ass as I'm sitting, and the pleather is peeling off the back, and I can't lean it back anymore because that's broken.
Playing my rig for all eternity would be heaven for me. Playing your rig for all eternity would be hell.
See, I hate your setup.
Go fuck yourself.
So that's what happened last week. I don't know if we're going to use this as a... What do you think, guys?
That's a great advertisement, man.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. We could put it on.
Sums up our podcast.
We could put it on YouTube. That'd be great.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, I was thinking if we don't use it on the podcast, then I could always put it on somewhere, attach it later. But yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
And our weekly plug is, if you're somehow a listener and not on our DL Gaming Steam group, please join. There's all kinds of discussions going on all the time. We have a riveting discussion on mouse pads.
I kind of talked about my mouse issues, yeah. So maybe that's why that started.
I guess some people use leather, some people use dead rabbits. Yeah. There's all kinds of mouse pads out there.
I'm surprised a lot of people. I mean, I'm surprised personally, but now that I think about it, it's a great idea. A lot of people are using these giant mouse pads that you set your keyboard on too. Because the problem I've had in the past is you have a mouse pad that stands off of your desk a little bit, and that disparity in height can kind of throw you off a little bit. So they have these mouse pads that go underneath your keyboard as well, and it's just basically like a giant placemat. A lot more people are using that than I thought.
Yeah, it's like one of those things you put in front of a kid when they're eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a giant
placemat.
Well,
that sounds like my mouse pad, except it doesn't quite fit underneath my keyboard, but I don't think there's any room for the desk to appear from underneath on the right side of my desk. It's humongous.
Does your wrist lay on it for your left hand?
No, not for my left hand.
Oh, okay.
But, no, it's just, I would say it would cover up. If you were to turn it around on the black side, it'd be that like huge blackout strip. If I were naked, it'd cover me up completely.
Okay.
So it's that perfect blackout mouse pad for
the perfect size
when I need it.
I like it.
We got something going on Awesome Knots we're talking about. There's talk about the GeForce 1080 and how it's a game changer and nobody else wants to agree.
That was Emu Killer posted a link to a review, and the box quote or whatever that little title is was the guy said it was a game changer. if you review anything and you use the term game changer, then
you better be right.
I just don't think that phrase. I think that phrase should be stricken from our vocabulary at this point. Game changer, overused. This is my opinion.
Well,
Emilio wouldn't be able to talk if he couldn't use the word game changer.
Game changer
at least once a day.
Guys, this new cereal I've been eating—it's a fucking game changer.
That shit I just had was a game changer.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
The funny thing about a video card is it can literally change games.
That's true.
It does.
Boom.
This might be the only situation where you can actually use the term game changer and be literal.
That is true.
The point is, if you're not on the Steam group, you should be on it. And there is stuff going on there every week, although we're not as active as we need to be, especially myself. I apologize. I will
actually
try to
Bobby's
be on.
The most.
Yeah.
The least on there.
In fact, speaking of inactive, I know I'm a newer voice.
Yeah, you need to be on there, too.
I really wanted to bring this topic up. With the Steam group, I'm going to become a lot more involved. In person, I'm going to become a lot more involved. That's my promise.
Okay.
And now, officially, since it's out there for the first time ever, this is the first time I've seen my Steam profile at 0.0 hours played in the past 2 weeks. I'm ashamed. Just shame me.
Thanks. You were traveling, though, right?
Yeah, I was on vacation for a whole week, so I'm going to come back and hit it hard.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool.
Good to hear.
And you're gonna go back.
Right now.
You're twitching. You're twitching.
Tomorrow, in fact, I have the entire day off. I will be twitching the game of the week, Undertale. No, month. Sorry.
Oh, nice.
So I will be gaming Undertale, and I will be picking up Overwatch. So I'm excited. If anybody
nice, good call.
Looking to play with me online, I am looking for new people to play some FPSs with. So
perfect. What?
Awesome.
How they,
let's do it.
If they want to watch you stream, how do they find you?
Oh, my stream is twitch.tv. / Smoochie. Smoochie spelled SMOOXCHI.
Perfect.
Awesome.
And then are you going to maybe be doing some more streaming on the DL Gaming?
Maybe.
We should do co-op streaming.
Yeah.
I don't know
how that's achieved, but yes, absolutely. all right.
Let's talk about some video games.
Maybe some PC games on this PC gaming podcast.
Yeah. Oh, one last point. When we're talking our Steam group, we have a couple more listener spotlights that said they were interested. We appreciate everybody that's showing their interest. But us first. And we will have one at the end of this episode.
I believe so.
Will we be able to get one done
absolutely
by Tuesday?
Okay. Bobby?
So there will be one either myself or Bobby. You can hear a little bit more about us as Smoochie interviews us.
I'm very excited.
I think we already got the good one out of the way, though. So it's all downhill from here.
Yeah. If you want to learn about Emilio, he was on 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Did you even hear about it? Or hear it, Bobby?
I've not listened to yours yet.
You're a fucking jerk, dude.
You don't
dude.
Know about the pony yet?
I know too much about you already.
Yeah, seriously.
Wait till you hear about the pony.
All right.
Length, girth.
So we usually do some games coming out this week. Not a whole lot coming out this week. The only ones that I really wanted to hit up were all existing games, and none of us play any of these games right now. Hitman Episode 3, Game of Thrones Episode 4, Witcher 3, Expansion Blood and Wine. So those are coming out, but if you're playing those games, you probably already know they're coming out. So I think we should are ready to move right into...
I'll give you my opinions real quick. I think Hitman's really good for somebody that plays stealth. Game of Thrones is top three of my
of the Telltale ones?
Of the Telltale ones. Mm-hmm. And then The Witcher... Who got past the first game? Like,
yeah, seriously.
And this one's supposed to be bigger, I think, than the first one? It's crazy.
It's bigger and better.
Yeah.
Did you play Witcher at all?
I did not play Witcher, but I surprisingly own both the first and the second. I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's such a large package that you almost have to dedicate yourself to it. Exactly. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
It's intimidating.
And it is.
It's a reason why I've never dated a black guy, so yeah. I just keep it sealed.
And Witcher 3 is kind of like Skyrim. Like, it's that same kind of massive scale of
open world
of gaming. So we all highly recommended it.
Yeah, it's a great game.
We loved it, but
if somehow you got through it, then here's
none of us got through the game because it was just so much game.
Yeah,
that's such a weird thing to complain about, but it's true with that one.
So no big story this week. It should have been Stellaris, but I did not get time to play it. Well, actually, Team Tom actually wanted to play his own games for once, so...
Rude.
Yeah, so rude. He's definitely going to be getting an email from upper management on that one.
I don't even know what Stellaris is. What is Stellaris? Explain it again.
It's by the guys who...
And why didn't we talk about it last week on games that were coming out?
I don't... You dropped the ball. You put that list
apparently
together.
Apparently, I dropped the ball.
Yeah. It is by the guys who did Crusader Kings and Europa Universalis, yeah. So, you know,
it's, RTS?
I don't know anything about it except for people who are raving about it.
Oh, it's a 4X game.
Okay.
Oh, maybe, yeah, it's a space maybe one. Then I'm interested in this because 4X is kind of something that I'm kind of into.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's on Team Tom's account if he ever gets off of it. Check this.
Okay. I'll have to check this one out.
Reviews look fairly positive.
It says the release date was May 9th, right?
Initial release date. I don't know if that was the actual one. But, yeah, it's been out for a little while. And that's the one I know that they had originally developed that to work with Mantle. I don't even know if Mantle is really a thing. But it runs great on AMD cards.
Oh, okay.
It's so rare that something's all partnered up with AMD these days. Yeah. Almost everything is... what are you rocking? What's your card? Do you know?
It's an AMD, I believe.
AMD?
I'm going to double check that. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean...
Soon to be a 1080.
Well, Radeon has their own cards with the FinFET coming out as well.
And they're going for that medium market, though, that $200-$300 range, their Polaris series. It's not going to be competing with the flagship from... NVIDIA anytime soon.
But at a $600 price point, if it stays there, who's not going to get it? I don't know.
$600 is a shit
ton. It is a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But for what you're getting compared to what you could get last year for the same amount.
Sounds
like a game changer.
Since we were talking... Wow. Call back. Since we're talking about Team Tom, Bobby, did you want to mention Team Tom's new one?
Yeah, it looks like he's got a new review on the website, Shadwin.
Shadwin.
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
It sounds like where Chad's from. Chad from Shadwin.
I'm Chad from Shadwin.
Chad from Shadwin.
That was his most popular line at the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually played as Shadwin when I was there. Oh, I was dressed up as Jon Snow. I look good. Yeah, I look
good. I'm sure you weren't the only one.
No, I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got it from Amazon Prime. Shout out. And
did you have it delivered at her house and then you drove up there?
She actually bought it, so.
Oh.
Okay. She bought it from Amazon Prime. Shout out. and I was worried because it's from Amazon Prime. Like, everybody's probably ordering this, but no, I was the only one there.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah. So let's get into actual games.
All right. So last week, after we recorded, we played a little bit. We
played that's right.
Co-op. We had four controllers and a Steam Link, so we played Stick Bold, which didn't really hit it off. It was a dodgeball game. 4v4, different arenas. Once you get hit, you die, and then you can kind of mess up other people as they're trying to play in different ways. And it was, I mean, it was fun, I'll give it that, but it just didn't really have any staying power. I think the other game that we had played was much better.
Yeah, agreed.
And that would be Speedrunners. And we covered it a long time ago, but just to cover, it's basically Mario Kart, but instead of 3D, it's 2D, mm-hmm. and it's vertical. So you're going in a donut, basically, a big donut loop, going up, then left, then down, then right. And you're all superheroes, and you're racing, and you're using your special abilities to try to get ahead. But you can also get boxes, just like Mario Kart, and that'll give you an attack, and you can shoot a missile forward, stuff like that. But it's way different.
Mario Kart kind of confuses people, though, because it's a 2D game. It's like Excitebike. Almost.
Yeah.
The Mario power-ups. The thing that makes it like Mario Kart is you get the power-ups and you can shoot the person or, like, grapple them and swing them back or something.
It's a race.
Yeah. The thing that's unlike Mario Kart is there's no finish line. The screen continues to get smaller and smaller around the leader. It's all based on him. So you want to be the leader, and then everybody else gets boxed out as the screen gets smaller and smaller. I'm making hand gestures just so all you guys in podcast land
see. In virtual world, see his hand gestures of a screen getting smaller. But the important thing is, the crucial part that you didn't mention is, if you go off screen, you die.
You die, yeah.
So and
it's a knockout game.
It's a knockout game. And then the last one surviving wins that round, and then you play best of three or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's also similar to a runner game where your guy's always moving forward. You can't, you don't control his moving forward, but you can't control him sliding or jumping or double jumping or using his grapple. So it's kind of like a runner game as well, where you're always moving forward, and so you can't control your speed. You can only control what you're doing as you're speeding.
Yeah, what was interesting about that is these fuckers, Chad in particular, kept starting the game when I wasn't ready because I was taking a drink and the next game would start. And I'd be okay, even though I didn't have the controller in my hand, because it's just running.
It auto does stuff for you until you get back in. But it doesn't do it as well as you do.
Right,
but
right.
It moves you along. So if you're doing
a little better than you did, yeah, actually.
I'm actually, again, a savant at these games. I was winning Stick Bold until I ended up getting teamed up with Sam. Sorry, Sam. And then I was also winning Speedrunners, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Cool. Moving on. So Chad and I re-fell in love with Grim Dawn again.
We brought this up a bunch of times.
So many times.
So
it's the best dungeon crawler, in my opinion, out there.
But I haven't played Doom 3 in a while, but I've had so much more fun with Grim Dawn than Doom 3.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Grim Dawn before.
It's not a huge title. We
Doom
just
3,
really enjoy
it. Comparison?
Not Doom 3. I'm sorry. Diablo 3.
Oh, okay.
I've
that
had
makes
so much
more sense.
Yeah, thank you.
Bobby didn't.
I was very confused for a second.
Yeah.
Bobby didn't feel the pull of it, but Bobby didn't really have the genuine experience because he was just being pulled along by us because we were trying to power level.
I played it when I was on vacation for a week. So I would play it like 10 o'clock at night, which is like way past my bedtime. And I would literally like slouch in my chair, and I built my character up. I was an engineer. I built my character up, so all I did was just hold down the left mouse button. Literally, all I did the entire time was just like pretty much lay down in my computer chair and hold down the left mouse button and trail you guys along, because my character would just shoot these shotguns, and I just put all my talent points into that, so that's all my guy did. And he did a pretty good amount of damage, but that kind of sums up these kind of games for me, and that's why I don't like them. They just, it's all clicking on stuff.
Yeah,
Chad and I were...
I agree with you, Bobby.
Like, we really wanted to beat this game, so we did.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, we beat it. I mean, it's been months and months, like 7 months. And we finally beat it, and then no fanfare, no you beat the game, no, not even a kazoo went off. And and we were like, did we beat the game?
We didn't even know if we beat it.
We didn't even know.
It was like you've unlocked elite difficulty.
Yeah, that's all it said. And so there were like, some
okay.
There were some lackluster loot. There's two epics.
There's less emphasis put on the end of a game these days, though.
No credits, no just a screen saying congratulations, you won, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Literally, you've unlocked the next difficulty. So I think that once you beat that...
There's a story to this game. Was there some sort of, like, climax and resolution to the story?
We don't know. Like,
I don't read.
I thought we played video games to be winners. So yeah. It's actually pretty...
No, like...
So basically, you're supposed to start over. You can start over with the same character and play the whole shit again.
Yeah.
And then you... And
that's
three times.
Diablo 3 is, but Diablo 3 has a story. You know, at the end, you...
Kill Diablo.
Yeah, you kill
this
Diablo.
This has a story, too, but...
Well, yeah. I guess I can compare this to The Sims, because there's really no...
But, like, this has... This actually has that, a story.
Yeah,
like,
there's a linear story, and...
This has a story. Yeah. And we got to the end, and we killed something... And then we returned and turned in our quest, and he's like, you killed the guy, we're thrilled now, but, I mean, you'd live in post-apocalyptic kind of anyway, so you're still in a shithole, even if the guy's dead, so,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're fucked regardless, but, like, it wasn't like, yeah, and you come back to the base, and everybody's cheering.
No,
like,
none of that.
Literally,
nothing.
Literally nothing.
Hey, you're a piece of shit again.
Yeah.
Start over.
You're still a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Now try harder, and maybe we'll give you some... But, we don't know if ultimate, because there's three levels. There's normal, there's elite, and then there's ultimate. We don't know maybe if you beat it on ultimate, which is the hardest setting, maybe they come in and jerk you off or something. Yeah. I don't know, but we didn't get any of that this time around.
So it sounds like a bunch of complaints, but guess who was playing the game the very next day? Yep. Actually, Chad put in, it started a new character. Like, this game is so fun. If you like dungeon crawlers, or if you never tried one, this one's amazing.
Yeah. Do you play dungeon crawlers?
Yes. Diablo, generally, right? Diablo.
Yeah. So it's on. We should set up family share. I'll get you Grim Dawn. You should give it a go because it's amazing.
It's really, really
and
good.
Also, I didn't know that because we had played in early access. So it recently, just like 2 months ago, came out of early access.
And they keep fucking patching this
game.
They
keep adding stuff.
It changes every 2 weeks. It gets better or changes.
And every time we play, a patch comes out that day or like the day before.
We're like, what's this?
We're incredible in that sense.
Awesome.
Love this game.
So, enough of the Grim Dawn, but play it.
Never going to bring that up again. It's great.
Yeah.
Tree of Saviors. Who played that?
Real quick, Tree of Saviors. It's an isometric sprite-based game, so it's sprites, not polygons. And you kind of, it's kind of one of those MMOs, JRPG style games. It's free right now. I was giving it a go. It's an MMO. I'm always interested in MMOs.
Looks pretty.
It looks pretty. The graphics are better than a lot of other ones I've played. Hasn't really held my attention. I'm going to play it some more, see if I see anything amazing. But, Tree of Saviors, that's about all I got to say on that.
Looks pretty shitty to me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just, I don't know. An MMO where it's top-down, it kills the immersion, and that's what all an MMO is for me.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, I played a couple of these style, either side-scroller or isometric. Maple Story is, like, the kind of the most well-known version.
Ragnarok.
Have you played any of these, Chi?
I've played Ragnarok in the past, and it was just to try to make my character look as cute as possible. I don't remember anything about the battle system or anything else.
Yeah.
I just really like the hats.
Is that a web-based game, or is it on Steam?
It was web-based.
No, this is
this is classic.
2000s? Like, this was...
Oh, Ragnarok was?
Yeah, this is...
I saw some...
This is, like, maybe before EverQuest.
Yeah, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, this one's...
Very old.
It was isometric because everything was isometric back then.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'll play this some more. If something's amazing, I'll bring it up again. But other than that, we can move on.
Cool. So I covered Warhammer 40K Regicide, I don't know, 6 months ago, but... Don't count on that. I have no idea. If it's in the past, I have no idea. But anyway, I did cover this, and I shat all over it. I was very underwhelmed.
Is this the one that is you basically play the board game?
It's a chess. No, it's chess.
Oh, it's the chess one. Okay.
It's chess with guns.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
Yeah. So even if you can't... Okay, the thing that dominates everything on the chessboard is the chess moves. If you can make a real chess move and capture a unit, that overrides everything. But if you don't do that, then you have like three rounds of being able to do strategy type stuff, like put a shield on a certain dude or have him take cover or take a shot at some, like do damage. They have guns, so you can shoot each other and wear a guy down. And I mean, if you're really old like me and you played Battle Chess and you thought it was pretty amazing, that's what this is. It's Battle Chess for this. See, this is great. And Chad, this kind of goes into one of our news topics, the new rating system, mm-hmm. the recent versus the overall.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah. See, I think it's so much better recently. What I've been playing is so much. If we didn't have the podcast today, I probably still would have been playing this. Now, I'm a weird dude. When it comes to strategy, I like to just see all the death animations, see what the game has to offer. I love playing through all that stuff. So it's kind of like in Battle Chess, there's custom games. I just set up every possible kill. Like, a pawn killing a king is, like, nearly impossible. But, I would set up the situation where this would happen just so I could see the animation. So all these animations are fantastic for me. If it needs anything, I would say bring in the other races. The Warhammer 40K series has like at least 6 or 7 races that I know about. So it's time.
More than 6 or 7.
It's a fully fleshed out game now. It needs to grow now. So.
So why do you think the overall is mostly positive, but the recent is mixed?
I don't know. That's really complex.
The 78 people that reviewed recently have just not given.
So strange, dude. It's way better. Okay. When I picked it up and I shat all over it, is because you can go in and you could skirmish, and that was it. There's no tutorial. There's no nothing. Gotcha. Now there's fully voice acted storyline. Not that it's great, but it's there. And there's a campaign, and there's online play, and there's all these things. It's a full game, and I could recommend. What were they charge you for this, Bobby? Do you know?
It's on sale right now for $4.94.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Only $15.
Yeah, if you like chess or if you like Warhammer, yeah, go for it.
Get the deluxe edition with the soundtrack for $5.60.
Has anybody bought a soundtrack on purpose?
No.
If they have a deal like that, like you spend another dollar, I'll usually get it.
Yeah. I'm down for a dollar, but...
I have a weird thing where the soundtracks just randomly start playing on Steam from time to time. Like, it'll just pop up the player. And it'll just start playing some weird shit. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? My Steam's... Oh, by the way, we should bring this up. My Steam's crashing 2-3 times a day. Anybody else? Is that just me?
I've noticed I have been having problems activating games on Steam. Like, my whole Steam client will lock up for a long period of time.
Yep.
Whenever I activate a game, I gotta let it sit for a little while and do its thing. I never did that before.
I actually have the same problem going... Not exactly the same... But when I first click on Steam, it'll like freeze for like 30 seconds, and then it like refreshes.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Yeah. So, Chi wouldn't know because she's been 0.0 hours. 0.0,
yeah. Last 2 weeks. Yeah, but my biggest problem with Steam is that I get this insane amount of fuckboys trying to add me.
I get the same thing. Trust me, it's annoying.
Ignore all these invites and deciphering whether I know them or don't know them. I'm sure Bobby understands how I feel.
Yeah, no, Bobby's a little different. It's like, voice, which country is this person from?
Yeah, a lot of Russians.
English speaking? ?
Yeah,
yeah.
You should have a captcha. For, like, instead of checking for if they're robots, whether or not they're English speaking.
Yeah, just ask an English question, and if they answer it correctly, then you can...
The cat goes.
Wow. I think out of your Regicide review that we just heard you talk about, I think that what we need to take out of that is that you're a weird dude.
No, for sure.
Okay, cool. That's we can move on.
We can all agree there.
Yes, we can. Valda's story... Zosimo requested that we play Valda's story, and so I've been delayed on it. This is how lazy I am. When the Steam, not the Steam, the Xbox controller link is not actively connected into my computer, I don't play any game that requires a controller because that would require me to get out of my seat, go out to the living room, grab the thing, and turn on the Xbox controller. So... I only play games that require a controller when everything is connected through it. But Valda's story is awesome. it is.
Did you buy it?
I'm playing it off Teams Tom's. No, I'm playing it off Digi's account.
Okay.
And it is awesome. It's a side scroller.
Is that Castlevania?
It's similar to Castlevania 2, where you go in one direction. It's a side scroller, but you go to one direction and then you get something, and then it opens up somewhere over there. So you're always moving back and forth on the map.
There's a term for that now. It's called
Metroidvania.
Metroidvania. Yeah,
it's a Metroidvania for sure. I'm having good challenge with this. It's not you guys would probably have an easier time than I would, because again, I'm not great at games, but this game is providing me the right amount of challenge. I want to point out the audio on this. The soundtrack is awesome on this game. This is one of the games that I would pick up the soundtrack for on this game. And
looking at all this, it reminds me to go back and play Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah,
everybody says that's like one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah,
and I've never played it, so that's the one that's always sitting. Another one that's just sitting in the back of my head that I want to play.
So again, this is called Valdis Story: Abyssal City. I highly recommend it. I've
seen this before.
Yeah, I'm going to play it some more. I've gotten to the first city, played against the first really challenging boss. So I'm going through it. I'm going to play it some more this week. Digi, have you played this game? I know it was on your library.
No, I have not. This game...
Is it a Humble Bundle?
Yeah, it goes around a lot on bundle sites, and you can get it for a lot cheaper than what Steam is selling it for, $14.99. This is a greenlit title. That's interesting. Yeah. So it was greenlit, let's see, September 8th, 2013. That's kind of back when they started doing the whole green light.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm familiar with the title. I've seen that around a lot. And it reminds me a little bit of Dust, an Elysian Tale.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking of Ori and the Blind Forest, was it? No,
But it seems like it focuses on combat a lot more.
Yeah, what was that? Is it Dust? Is that the one that does that?
Yeah, where you had the sword.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of, Dust. So, yeah, highly recommend it. I would recommend you guys here give it a go.
I'd rather go play Castlevania, just because like I need to get that out of.
Okay, we'll play it and let us know.
It's like
think.
A bill I haven't played. It's just in the back of my head.
Great too.
What's that?
Have you played?
You played it?
I'm pretty sure I've played a lot of Castlevania like games, but I've never played them through. But there was one, I don't remember what it was called. I had it on my DS. At one point, I played it from beginning to end.
It probably
because
is.
The story pulled me through. It could be Symphony of the Night. It sounds familiar, but I have horrible memory. And but Castlevania games, there's just so much involved in the platform story, items, and the boss fights are always a challenge, I feel like.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
Which is why I generally will sit one through from beginning to end before picking up another game, just because it's like one of those things where it's like you almost take on the role seriously and just, you know, have to make it through.
For sure.
I do recommend it because it's one of the few games that holds my attention until I finish it. Mm-hmm.
I played, I fell for some clickbait. It was something like 9 video game records that will never be broken. And one of them was a dude beat fucking, I think it was Metroid 1, 2, and 3 with one controller at the same time with the same inputs. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, no way.
Mega Man, right? Mega Man. Sorry.
Mega Man 1, 2.
1, 2, and 3 at the same time.
Simultaneously?
With one controller. And it's just so happened he worked it out where he beat all 3 last bosses at the same time. Like, how crazy is that?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a modern day.
Yeah, for sure.
That's into like autistic.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Mode, right?
Like, yeah. That's amazing.
That's crazy.
Either that or these games aren't as hard as you think.
Yeah. What was Castlevania 2? Do you remember that one?
No, man.
That's on my top 10 list of NES games for sure. But I played the shit out of that game. It was awesome.
And there's another game that I've been wanting to play. It's called The Last Surviving Human on Earth, or the Aquatic Adventures of the Last Human on Earth. And it's a Metroidvania game.
Metroidvania, as in Castlevania.
Oh, gotcha.
Metroidvania. Not Metroidmania. That's a whole different thing.
Shut up, Chad. So, but you're a submarine and you're going through all these levels as the last human in a little like submersible, because I guess, and cool. It just looks really appealing to me for some reason. I want to check it out.
Cool.
What didn't appeal to me was Dungeon Rushers. I played
like
it.
That.
Yeah. So it's kind of turn-based RPG. You're going through dungeons and you'll hit a tile and the tile will have bad guys. And yeah, I was actually enjoying this quite a bit. The combat is, you know, Final Fantasy-esque.
Yeah.
But I ran out of health potions and couldn't figure out where to get more. And I was completely stuck.
So it's like more of an old school RPG where they don't give you anything and you really have to...
Maybe. I gave it like 5 minutes of searching every possible thing that I could. So there's no way.
Five whole minutes?
There's no way I could get. There's no way. Oh, there wasn't much there, Chad.
Okay.
The days of the raging and hitting the reset button.
What do you mean? Those are still there. I mean, I'm doing that today.
The Alt-4 button, I'm sorry.
I was enjoying it, but not enough to go look something up.
Or how
I
about
guess.
Just ripping out the cartridge and then having the game lock up on the screen?
Or blowing on it.
Throwing the controller.
Dude,
I can't throw a controller anymore because you're on a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
I mean, you can rage and throw your keyboard, but...
Headsets are the first
headset.
Ones to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a friend, he used to bring his... I forget what Nintendo system, 64, I think. And we'd play Mario Kart in at night, like, because we'd work in the middle of the night. So anyway, in the break room, we'd set it up. But he was a rage quitter before rage quitter was a thing, before.
Mm-hmm.
And I constantly beat him, poor guy. So he, one time when I beat him, he picked up his controller and swung it around his head like a sling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and smashed it on the ground.
Wow.
Right? And our manager walked in at the same time in the break room, and he's like, what are you doing, Jeremy? Like, what? I don't understand.
It's like, oh, there was a spider.
There was a spider.
There was a guy at work, because I work with a place that has controllers, and he got really mad and threw the controller at a wall. And to this day, there's an impression... on the
That's
wall
funny.
of the controller.
He should have signed it.
Is that coming off his paycheck?
I think that was never talked about again, so I don't know about that.
Oh, God.
I do have to make one comment from just looking at the Steam page and photo of the...
Oh, we're going back to the actual game, Steam?
Dungeon Rushers.
Okay.
I notice in the fight scene with your teammates and the enemies, the health bars are the same colors.
Yeah, you can't tell.
For me, it's a little... you know, for RPG combat, to see all of that in one screen, it's just too much. It's too confusing. Enemy versus friend. I know it's one side versus the other,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's unappealing to see that, you know,
all,
the same health bars. Like, normally they distinguish ally versus enemy.
And the other thing, too, is harder. Like, the graphics are 2D and 8-bit. And there's not a whole lot of animations when you're doing this kind of game. You could have done a little better than 8-bit for something like this.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this is still early access, and how much is it going for early access, Bobby?
$14.99.
I can't
with the graphics,
that.
Yeah, it's still in early access. The graphics don't look that bad to me. They don't really look pixelated like that. It almost reminds me of that game. What was it, Flame Break, that you were playing for a while?
Yeah, I
mean,
can
that's
see
what
that.
Visually it looks like to me. I guess the text looks a little pixelated.
I got a new nickname for Bobby. It's Bobby $14.99 Digi.
$14.99.
82, not 82.
Everything's an 82 and costs $14.99.
Yep.
All right. So Goliath came out 2 weeks ago. There was a little hype behind it. I've only put in an hour's worth, so I'm just going to give you my initial impressions. I like it. I don't love it. It's kind of a survival game, but the twist is...
Survival crafting.
It's a survival crafting.
It looked a lot like Don't Starve.
Yeah, it's got Don't Starve elements to it. The graphics are nice, not blowing me away, but it's decent. The twist is you're playing as a kind of a mechanic.
Inventor?
Inventor,
sure.
Yeah, something like that. And he can. Everybody's bigger than you in this. So you play as this little. You're human, but everybody is big. So
You mean the enemies, the NPCs, the bad guys are big giant monsters.
Yeah, so you can be yourself and be kind of, you can activate invisibility, so you can play as a human and kind of be the stealthy little guy to avoid things, but then you can press the button and activate and turn into this big mech, right? Yeah. So this inventor creates this big mech that exists in this world where everybody's bigger. So it's a crafting survival game, but the twist is you can also be this mech that destroys things, and you're trying to, like, you start the story off and you're trying to find your co-pilot because you were a pilot and crashed. So it's interesting so far. I've been busy, so I haven't had a chance to go back to it, but so far I'm liking it. I'm not sure yet if it's worth the $20 to buy it.
Conceptually, I'm in love.
Yeah,
it does.
You said you were very interested in playing it, but you haven't had a chance yet, right?
No, I haven't had a chance yet either. I mean, crafting survival, I think we're all...
Oh, by the way, the first thing when you come in is you have to start chopping down trees,
and right.
That's when we would have lost Bobby, right? Yeah. Within the
and
first
me,
30 seconds.
And me, dude. I'm sick of it, too.
Yeah.
I'm sick of chopping down trees, man. There's so many fucking games.
Yeah, and you're like...
One of my favorite nostalgia moments in terms of Warcraft and Harvest Moon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh. But you haven't been playing all these survival crafting games.
Oh, like, my gosh. Been so many.
Oh, Minecraft is barely...
Rust and all Rust, these other ones.
Everything. Don't Starve.
We did like almost a year on the podcast,
like a year
where it was like every other game was...
Every
a,
other game
was
chopping down, yeah.
I don't know. I can always handle... Wood. You can never have too much.
That's true.
I'll take sexual innuendos for $300, Alex.
I like it. And then again, Goliath. I'm sorry, Tree of Saviors and Valda's Story. Both of them. I was just blown away by their soundtracks and their audio on both of those games. I just wanted to point out.
That's good to hear.
I think the soundtracks are getting better in games. I felt like when games were first coming along, the soundtrack wasn't an important aspect of it. So, you know, they weren't putting a lot of time or money into it. And I feel nowadays, maybe it's not as important, but people are finding ways to get decent soundtracks onto games without having to spend a lot of money. I don't know. Maybe people are getting better at doing these soundtracks.
No, I think
what
it is, dude, the value of music has... plummeted.
Oh, maybe that is.
If you think about it, you know, you used to pay X amount for music's basically free now. $9.99 a month, you get all the music you could possibly consume, and so the value's dropped. So now, if I made a game today, I would find an artist nobody's picked up yet, and just be like, "Do you want to?" Of course, they would take it for like whatever I offered them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, maybe the other thing is with the advent of EDM and electronic music, like you can put something together. Maybe I just like EDM a lot, so like if they've got that kind of electronic synth music, I'm down with it. But I felt like the music that was playing that in there was fitting the game that I was playing, as well as it was soothing yet making me want to play these games. So
that's awesome.
I just wanted to give a shout out to these games.
It's such an important part of gaming that
it really is. As a nostalgic trigger, I usually find myself, if I want to feel a certain way, I rely on old school OSTs. Like I'll listen to certain RPG soundtracks and be like, oh, you know, it's like, even though I'm here, like, you know, it, like, just by listening to the music, it brings me back to all these video games. So it's important to find a good
soundtrack. I thought we were hardcore, but
no,
it's true.
That's dope,
no,
though.
I mean,
I
used to be a lot more hardcore, especially with RPGs, but if I found a really good back in the day, before YouTube, before anything else, you know, I would have to torrent some video game music. Not torrent, Napster.
Napster.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Like, way back in the day.
Like, for years I said that Chrono Trigger was my favorite game ever. If I heard the music, I would have no idea.
Oh, by the way.
It's like a Borderlands
thing. You probably recognize it. It had some pretty signature songs, like the Wind Song. But, I would recognize that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Chi, about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, we used to start the podcast off with a game. So one episode I did a game where I just played soundtrack audio music, and I tried to get them to guess it. I did ones as easy as Contra, and they weren't being able to get them. And I think
we got 1 out of 10.
Maybe.
Nice. Yeah.
And so maybe we'll do it again, and I'll have you try to do it.
I might be able to do that. It's almost like, I don't know, like with, it's like one of those things where, for me, you know, it's really visual and audio that how we immerse ourselves in these games. So I actually pay heavy attention to the music.
Is it better that you enjoy it and not notice it? Or is it better that it's so good that you go like, whoa, the music's that, but then it takes you away from the game?
You got to take both in at once.
Yeah.
Girls are good at this.
Yeah. Well, I think of it like a movie also, like movies that have really good soundtracks. Maybe you don't hear it for 80% of the time, but when that one moment, you know, the boss fight comes up and that audio hits you and you're like, oh shit, I'm ready to go now.
The bass drop.
Yeah.
Video.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, cool. I'm so glad you just said that because I beat Doom. I finished
oh, nice.
It yesterday.
Congrats.
And one of the best parts of this game is the music. I mean, I didn't think I hated death metal until Doom, because it fits so perfectly.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, and you're just like ripping shit apart, and fuck, I was like,
that's true.
This game, again, just do it really quickly, sum up Doom. It gets better as you go. And what game does that?
And single player, right?
And single player, yeah.
Yeah, like right now.
Single player in... Oh, man, it is amazing. What game... I would say every single game I've ever played that single player, you get tired of the mechanics and you're just going through the end of the game. This... It gives you some ideas at the beginning about mechanics and they all bloom at the end. And you just put it all together like a cacophony of sound and violence. It's awesome.
Sorry about that, if you can hear that.
Yeah. Someone brought their vibrator.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doom is a good example of when music works well with the game. And it doesn't even have to be a type of music that you enjoy. If it works with the game, it just really completes it in a special way.
Go ahead.
I was going to shift it into something else, but go ahead if you have something to comment on that.
I was just going
to
say that, the music on its own definitely isn't good because Doom, it glitched out on me, and there was not an enemy, but it thought there was an enemy still, so it kept the music going. But meanwhile, I'm just like walking around looking for this guy that doesn't exist for like 4 or 5 minutes. I turned down the volume. I'm like, this is really annoying. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, in the next fight, I welcome that music right back. Yeah. So it's all situation.
Another game that did a really good job of that rising crescendo. Like the music would pick up when there was a big action scene and then die out when all the enemies had been killed. But yeah, I ran into that too with Doom, where one enemy was still alive and he was glitched out somewhere. It may not even been glitched, maybe just in another room, but for some reason the game thought I was still in combat. So I was just strolling pleasantly through the facilities listening to the music.
Did you have to restart, Bobby? Because that's what I had to end up doing. Because the door wouldn't unlock without him dead.
No, I was able to move on from that point. But I was on one of those missions where you have to unlock certain things, and I wasn't blocked off from it.
I don't know if this is a spoiler or what, but there's definitely it leads right into a sequel. So I think we could see another one.
Did talk about Doom for 45 minutes last week.
This is my game of the year right now.
Wow. Awesome.
Well, that's an example, like I said, of when audio works well. When it doesn't work well for me is in competitive games. I turn the audio off like Killing Floor. Not even because the music is bad. Killing Floor 2 is an example. Heroes of the Storm, I turn the music off just so I can hear sound effects better because that will make you a better player. But I've talked to a lot of people who really like that type of music, and they love the soundtrack on Killing Floor 2. I've heard more compliments on a game soundtrack for Killing Floor 2 than probably any other game.
That's awesome.
But that's distraction for you?
Me, yeah. I want to focus on, hearing the enemies.
I would say on the whole, if I'm playing multiplayer, I'm turning the music off. Yeah.
But, you know, the same can apply to not just audio, because Doom, again, I leave motion blur on, and I always turn motion blur off with first-person shooters because you can't see as clearly when you're moving quickly.
Yeah.
But with that, it adds such a cinematic feel that I just can't I can't seem to turn it off. I just like the way it looks.
I'll definitely concur with everything that you said, and I do have one gripe about background music with multiplayer gaming. I, especially as a streamer, one of my biggest nuisances, but one of the most popular reasons why people will stay longer in my stream, it's for song requests.
So
my audience actually has a lot of control in how I feel, like, gaming wise, because they control, they're my DJs.
How often do they troll you?
It's only, there are trolls that exist out there that look for song request streams just to, like, John Cena, you know, or like, it's like the new Rick Roll these days.
Give you up. Let you down.
But at the same time, like, you know, I do that for the audience, but I really would rather not listen to any music if I'm trying to pick up sounds like Bobby, or B, enjoy the video game music, because it actually sets up the mood just like Marvin Gaye would, but in a, you know, in a video game setting. So it
non-sexually,
really,
for the most part.
I thought everything was supposed to be sexual.
Yeah.
If not, make it sexual.
Bobby about to sneeze is very sexual.
That's why it's called, you know, that's why it's adult.
Exactly.
You know, that's the only way to have fun is to, you know.
Why else would it be adult? We're either drinking or talking about sex. Or...
Bobby trying to sneeze is exactly sexual. It's him herking and jerking, trying not to finish, trying to hold it back. But the whole event was about 4 to 5 seconds.
Which they probably didn't even hear because he took it off mic.
That's true.
Yep.
What do they call the button? I don't know. Bobby, maybe you know this. They got like a cough button or a sneeze button, like a lot of like...
They use it for cursing as well.
Professionals.
Yeah, I forget
what it's called.
They push
the sneeze button to sneeze or whatever. We need one of those.
That's
Bobby, get on that.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
All right.
Let it ride.
They want to hear it all.
All right, so we have a listener question. This is a bit of a long one, so I'm going to just read it and then...
Are you really? No, don't read it, dude. Basically, he lost all his saves.
Yeah, this is from Puppy Parade.
Right.
He had a hard drive failure, it looks like, and he uses two hard drives. And it, from what I gather from what he wrote, he has Steam installed on one hard drive, his game saved on another. And that caused some problems when he had to replace one and he lost some saves. And I mentioned this software a lot, but Game Save Manager... we got to contact them about some residuals or something.
Yeah,
I appreciate them so much. But that was that software scans your computer and just backs up all your games, and it does a very thorough job. It has profiles for each game. It knows where those games are supposed to be saved and what files it needs. Doesn't need to go into the registry to get some registry edits to back up the games, like every little detail like that that you wouldn't ordinarily think of. Because here's the problem with a lot of games: it doesn't always just store the save file in the same spot. Some of them store them in your saved games folder in your user profile. Some of them store them in your documents folder, and then in a subfolder named under the game. Some of them save it in the Steam apps folder. It could literally be anywhere, depending on what game you're playing. But this software will scan all that. Takes a long time, but it scans all of it, finds it, backs it up, and then it can restore it to the same location as well. So I'm a big fan of that. Steam does have a built-in little application or something to back up your game, but it backs up the entire game, and it takes up a ton of room.
The entire game?
Yeah, so it's like a lot of space. In the past, what I've done, if I'm going to reinstall my operating system, assuming my original hard drive is still intact, I have copied my entire Steam folder onto a separate drive, reinstalled Windows on the boot drive, and then copied everything back. And it has to download a few little things here and there to rebuild some stuff, but it saves a lot of time and a lot of bandwidth. So if you're transferring like that, but if you had a failure, Game Save Manager is what you want to get.
No, it doesn't matter if they're on Steam or not on Steam?
No, it doesn't. It'll back up any games. And not even just games. Here's the great thing about it, too. It backs up profiles, so I don't have to reset all my hotkeys or my configurations that I made, or even like my sprays in Team Fortress 2 or Left 4 Dead. Like, all that little stuff, it grabs that, too. It does it with Xbox. Like, it's great.
And I know you were talking about residuals, but they're not making any money. It's free, right?
Yeah, I don't...
Do they have a premium service or anything?
Yeah, it's completely free. Yeah, I've never had to pay for it.
Wow.
I think it's like a community-driven thing because people submit things like, oh, this new game came out. Oh, this is where it saves its file. Oh, it turns out you need this registry thing in it to get the save files as well. Like the Xbox games are always weird like that. You need all these little random things. I lost all my Batman saves, like Arkham Knight.
Yeah, for sure. Free shit. Yeah. We're entitled, motherfuckers. Give a shit. I'm going to announce right now we're going to take...
You know, people for people, but...
We're about to start taking 80% of all residual, all the money that they make.
Which is zero.
Everybody wants
which
money zero. For every little thing that they do. Yeah. Yeah. You know? But it's nice.
Yeah.
Bobby, you are still using this right now?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I have it set up. It's a little confusing, but there's some YouTube videos out there on how to do it. I have it set up so every Wednesday at like 3 in the morning, because I assume I'm not playing video games at that hour, it does an entire backup, and it doesn't back up the stuff that's already backed up, only the stuff that's changed. It creates that new backup file. It puts everything into one file, too, which is what I like.
Oh, nice.
And then it can open that file with Game Save Manager later if you want to restore. But yeah, it basically backs everything up once a week, puts a new backup on there, deletes the old one. I got a nice system set up, so I'm not losing any saves.
I just want to say that Wednesday at 3 a.m. is when my gaming habits start. That's the beginning. You're dropping the ball there if you're not showing up for that, Bobby.
Well, he also does have to get up early.
Yeah.
What's happening Wednesday at 3 a.m.?
Bobby is sleeping, which is why that works, and Emilio's playing games.
That's where me and my... Octopus Hentai RPG group get together.
Yep.
Oh.
Full costumes, too. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
He plays the octopus, by the way.
Wow. But
there's a lot of little issues because he's got a weird setup here with different hard drives and splitting the Steam libraries between them. I've done that once before, and I had so many issues with that. This is a long time ago, back when Steam wasn't exactly what it is today. But I completely gave up on that idea. I know games can take up a lot of space, but get a bigger boot drive, man. Unfortunately, that's just...
So he wasn't running a RAID 0, I'm guessing.
Probably not. Most people don't run those.
Okay.
Hmm.
I just wanted to use a terminology that I just learned. So.
Yeah, it didn't really apply, but, you know, it was a good try.
Nice try. For the short bus, you didn't do too bad.
I would talk about games. I know I didn't mention anything in highlights and lowlights, but...
assumed you didn't play.
Yeah, well, I actually did, but I've been catching up on all the usual shit that I play. So a lot of Heroes of the Storm, a little bit of Doom, and a little bit of Stardew Valley. Although I'm losing interest in Stardew Valley, you know?
What?
As soon as you get married, you just completely lose interest, apparently.
That's why we don't do it.
Weird.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you the strategy for those video games?
Yeah.
Woo all the boys to 10 hearts and then never get married?
Yeah. Exactly.
You'll get bored.
They're coming out with that patch and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So
big patch coming up.
Co-op, yeah.
So maybe divorce?
Oh, my God. I'm getting the evil eyes from Sam over here.
Does divorce exist in video games?
She should know. It didn't work the first time for her.
Hey-o, from downtown.
TMI.
All right. Let's talk esports real quick. This is unrelated. Lots of esports going on right now. But I specifically wanted to talk about how I use Gosu Gamers. I found Gosu Gamers to be the best one for esports because it covers all the ones that I'm interested in. CSGO.
You should contact them.
CSGO, League of Legends, Dota 2. But I just kind of wanted to lay out how I use it, and maybe Bobby use it as well, so maybe if you can highlight anything that you do differently.
So he uses it as a portal site for Pornhub so his girlfriend doesn't see it.
Exactly. So what I connect into Gosu Gamers. Right. Yep. No. So what I do on Gosu is a lot of the esports are going on at different times that I can't watch them. So I use Gosu mainly for their VODs, so video on demand. And so what I do with it is I go into their VOD tab. And then in their VOD tab, you can search for all the different VODs that are up there. It collects them all. It does a great job. But what you can also do, so you can search for the game you're looking for, and then you can check a box to just display game number one. So normally it'll display games 1 through 4, but you'll see there's no game 5, so you know come in game 4 who's going to win.
Right.
So you can check the box to just display game ones. It'll compress the list, and then you won't
beautiful.
Get, yeah, and then once you go, so I say, okay, I want to watch this game. you can click on the game, and then when you're in that window, it won't show you who won, so it won't spoil anything, and it has different tabs for all the different VODs that are there, 1 through 5, 1 through 3, whatever they are, and so you don't have to change that page. You can just watch VOD 1, see who that game, go click on VOD 2 and go to it. So nice. I use this.
That is so beautiful.
I basically use this instead of Netflix for most of the time. So instead of me watching Netflix and watching some dumbass show, I go in there, I watch the...
Fuck TV.
Yeah, for the most part, fuck
Except
TV.
Except for hockey.
Except for hockey and cooking shows, fuck TV, you know? So I'll go in there, I'll watch my Dota 2. The only downside is, because it pulls up the full list, if you're smart enough, you can kind of figure out who wins, because you can see who doesn't start showing up.
Set.
Yeah, you can start seeing who doesn't show up coming up. So that's the only like downside I've had to it.
But they can't do anything to fix that.
I mean, I don't really know. And so, honestly, if you're quick...
The reason I'm so, like, I don't watch esports, but the reason that I'm so appreciative of what he's talking about is my favorite game of all time, Ender's Game, was kind of ruined because of the length of the book. I could see how many pages were left, and it just didn't make sense.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the first time I ran into that. But more recently, and every week, when I watch The Ultimate Fighter, which I download, or the main event of UFCs, which I also download, I can see how many rounds there are. So just because of the length of the video, and I know what's going to kind of happen. Somebody's going to win in round one or round two.
Or it's going to go to decision.
Or it's going to go to decision because it's 25 minutes.
Yeah,
so exactly. It gives it up right there. Chi, do you watch any esports at all?
I do not dabble around esports too much, but I have plenty of esports enthusiasts. In fact, almost all of my core gamers are all esports enthusiasts with gambling involved as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I...
Oh, yeah, Gosu does that also. You can gamble on Gosu.
For me, I think that's the girl element of myself. I'm not really into real sports, and I'm already into video games. I used to tell people if I was into sports and video games, I might as well just, like, grow a dick.
Yeah.
But anyways, I feel like it's so big that I would have to actually dedicate time and attention to really get into it.
It's true.
I know big enough names and some bigger players, but actually... knowing enough to be involved and get enthused, no, not enough. I would watch pro games to pick up on certain elements, and of course I always watch some of the best highlights, but paying attention to the teams and the progress and tournaments, it is a whole thing on its own. It's something, another thing that I can improve on, but I generally try to keep that circle small.
Does CSGO have like a Super Bowl?
Yeah. It's
is that ESL Cologne?
Yeah, ESL Cologne, yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't say in it. That says an organization and then a city, and then like I need to, for the outside people, I think they need a better name for that.
Well, I think the thing
Grand World Major Hyper Turbo Finals.
They're one of the only ones where the creators of the game isn't controlling the most important tournaments.
Yeah.
Like ESL is not owned by Valve, versus League of Legends has their League of Legends Championship, Dota 2, their Dota 2 Worlds.
How Those strange are all, is that, though?
Well, because CSGO was so old that they were doing ESL and all these
that
other
old.
Ones. Yeah. Well, because it started with Counter-Strike Source, and before that, you know, like they were doing...
Oh, it's already established.
The pro leagues for Counter-Strike were already established before these...
We can't come in and take the whole shit over.
Yeah, so I don't know if eventually...
But still, other companies like ESL will... manage a tournament. They'll host a tournament and they'll take care of the whole production aspect.
Yeah.
Even though like maybe BlizzCon, Blizzard will take care of it on that event. But say, like recently they had DreamHack for Heroes of the Storm and also for Counter-Strike, and they handled the whole production and the whole tournament there, and they did a pretty poor job of the Heroes side. Unfortunately, there was I mean, Heroes of the Storm, it's like 20-minute matches, maybe 30 minutes. And there was about 15, maybe 20 minutes of downtime between each game, and it got pretty ridiculous. Like, to watch the entire tournament in a day took like 13 hours. So
Jesus.
That's why people were all over Reddit complaining about it everywhere. And someone had a great suggestion, a Heroes of the Storm podcast I listened to. They were saying that it's a lot easier just to go to a site like Gosu Gamers and watch the VODs on it afterwards, because then you just watch it one after another. You can skip the draft if you want. I like watching the draft.
I love watching the drafts.
But what he also mentioned, because he was part of the tournament as well, he said most of the delays were due to audio issues, and it was because they were using things like Discord and Skype, third-party audios. And most big setups, like on the international, every year they'll give you a tour of the production, which is really interesting to me, not so much everyone else. But they got a mixer, you know, like we got here, except theirs is much bigger.
He says all of this as he's surrounded with wires and cables.
Yeah, he's sitting on the floor
because switches and mics.
Because he had to get so close to all this stuff.
I'm pretty sure he's plugged into the mains.
He's got a fluffer behind there somewhere.
It's the best seat in the house. But yeah, they show you how it's all done, and they run their sound like we're running our sound right now. It's live audio, it doesn't fuck up, and it's instantaneous. So the fact that they were trying to use Discord didn't work, then they tried to jump on a TeamSpeak, like that was causing a lot of the delays at DreamHack. And that's, I guess, one of the biggest problems that happens in these tournaments is the audio.
Yeah. But to get back to round it out, if you're interested in esports at all, I think you should check out Gosu Gamers.
Yeah. I'm not really, but
and we're not getting paid for them. This is just what we found as the best thing so far.
But I'm going to be sending an email here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to get into an esport that you don't play. Like, I watch Heroes of the Storm because I played a lot. I watch the International just because it's like the closest thing we have to the Super Bowl. And that was kind of my introduction into esports, really.
If there was a Pornhub esports, I'd be right in there.
You might be a semi-pro.
Yeah. semi-pro.
I agree with you, Bobby, but it's funny because the three ones, I watched League of Legends and Dota 2, and then I'm starting to get into CSGO, and I don't play any of those games right now. I've played them all, but
you got to wait. It's the ending.
Yeah.
Wait for the ending, G.
Yeah, you gotta wait for the ending.
I bet this isn't on video because I am freaking out right now, guys.
well, we'll keep going on, and maybe the listeners will find out what you're freaking out about.
Right?
Okay.
So what else we got? Should we get in the news?
Yeah, sure. So the new rating system, it came up earlier where there's the
overall. Yeah, this came out like 3 weeks ago or something like that? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that. About 3 weeks ago.
And we forgot to mention it.
I think it's great. Although, obviously. Well,
tell the listeners about the changes.
So there's the overall rating system for Steam. You know, you'll get your percentage. Let's say it's 50%. That'd be a really bad game. And then there's the recent, which means like if it's coming out of.
They patched it up, or they're coming out of early access. I think they reset the ratings when it comes out of early access or something like that. Maybe they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just going to use the recent ones.
Yeah.
The question I have is,
so there's two ratings now. There's the overall and there's the recent. And I guess you should be looking at the recent more.
Well, that's
I feel there's less trolls too at the recent.
How often do you guys actually review these games as you play them? Because you can play so many games. Do you take the time to?
Well, Team Tom is our reviewer.
Yeah, the like Team Tom will not review something unless he's gone from point A to point B. He's finished the game. He believes that the developers deserve that much.
Okay.
Yeah. And I respect that so much.
I do too.
But doing a weekly podcast, we have to keep the ball moving. So
we just don't have the.
And generally, bandwidth. I feel like I can get the gist of a game like right off the bat, and it doesn't always apply. Like. Again, Doom
like
gets
we heard
better
from Regicide.
As you go.
The last time you reviewed that, you shat all over it.
Perfect.
I have a suggestion. Just control, copy, game changer, paste.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Just game changer. Just two words, game changer. And then just put that in review for every game you play.
You know?
Well, I changed games a lot. So gotta keep this going. So
it does change the games.
It kind of works.
This game's so bad, I'm changing my game. It is a game changer. all right, so Bobby, anything you want to mention on the reviews side?
Well, what I like about it is it shows you those recent reviews in another column, so you can actually read those as opposed to just seeing like, oh, this is what it has now and that's what it had then. I don't think the Steam review system is that good to begin with, really. It's not that it's not good. You just shouldn't wholeheartedly base your opinion off of that. You shouldn't go just off of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It helps.
Agreed.
It helps. Yeah. It's not the end-all, be-all.
I feel like it's very, for me, it's there for entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm.
It's like Yelp. A lot of people get on there to try to, you know, work on their tight five comedy act.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. All right, what else we got news-wise?
So, giant Overwatch figures have been popping up all over the world. So, in Tokyo, there's one in L.A., and it's cool the way they're doing it. They're not just putting a statue on a street corner. It's a statue inside a box that you would buy a figurine, like the Spawn characters come in.
Oh, you know, like that, yeah. Okay,
with the plastic thing. So it's window. A giant, giant box, like a two-story box with a one-story character inside of it with all the attachments and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
It's so cool because this Overwatch is a global, if you're into the story, it's some sort of like global, it's kind of like a Captain Planet thing or something.
Oh, yeah,
it takes the whole world to come together to, you know, everybody has their hero from different regions. Mm-hmm. So it takes the whole world. So this is a marketing strategy, obviously, but what a cool way. And you got that Blizzard money, bling, bling, to fucking use it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When has Blizzard really flexed their fucking money?
I mean, they do have a convention just for themselves.
BlizzCon.
I mean, not a whole lot of... EA doesn't do something like that.
Right.
You know, Sony and Microsoft.
That's true. That's probably a lot of their money that goes into that. But this is pretty dope. I can stand behind this.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, who watched the Dragon...
I have not
new
seen
short?
That one.
Dragons. Overheard the short. My little brother, by the way, if anyone out there could be as big of a pre-Overwatch fan as my little brother.
That's Emilio. He's sitting right next to you.
Yeah, over the weekend, you know how when you're just hanging out all in a room and everybody's on their phones, if I peeked over my brother's shoulder, it would be strictly Overwatch. He's
how old is he?
Talking
probably
about.
Porn 20, if you're not
he
there.
Just turned 20 years old.
Yep, it's definitely
and,
porn.
Finished his finals. And actually, for his birthday gift this year, I got him a Overwatch survival kit.
What is that?
It's basically I got him pajamas because I know he's not leaving his room.
Yeah, naturally.
I got him a whole bunch of snacks and
you put it together yourself. I thought it was something that was for sale.
No, it's not that's awesome. For sale. It's so, you know, it's just being the coolest big gamer big sister that understands the hype of launch day.
So if you would like your Overwatch survivor kit, you're going to have to go through the DL Gaming website.
Did you get him a poop sock? That's what I want to know.
Not a poop sock, but I did get him some socks because
which he will be using as a poop sock.
So who watched this short? Anybody?
No.
Oh, there goes
I've
my
only
quiz,
seen
then.
I've only seen Recall.
Okay. So anyway,
this is the third one, right?
This is the fourth one. There's one with a sniper.
Yeah, and, Widowmaker. And then there's one with Winston, the gorilla.
Yeah.
That's the Recall.
Yeah.
And then there's the Hanzo one, which is Dragons, right?
Oh, maybe you're right.
Yes, okay. He's all about the Hanzo thing. Okay, so me, because of the sheer enthusiasm from a lot of my core gamer friends and my little brother, deciding to pick up on Overwatch and actually dedicating real time from the beginning of the game to just get involved and immerse myself in the community, what's the best way to approach... you know, just dabbling into Overwatch now and making sure that
I think the most important thing is finding the character that you identify with the most, right?
Because that's what they're going for. They're going for a character for everyone. So there's the engineer. There is the first-person shooter twitch, like quick reflex guy. Okay. There's the rocket jumper. There's the...
four or five healers.
There's the sneak behind the guys.
There's the trap setter-upper.
Yeah. Like, any kind of gaming that you do. If say you're not good at aiming...
That's me.
There's several characters that are good. Lucio.
The answer is Lucio.
Lucio is a good one, but also the other healer that puts the traps on the walls.
Renata?
No, but anyway, yeah, she's really good because she only shoots like this one big, large blob. She's amazing. I think she's really, really fun. She's a healer for the defense.
Yep.
Basically, find who you want, but the way you do it, Chad never does this. I always do this. I play every single character in practice to see how they play, if I like them, all that stuff. And then you go in. Chad likes to jump in and then bitch about him getting killed nonstop.
It's weird how it corresponds between one that has a set schedule that only has a certain amount of hours to game versus a guy that could take a Wednesday and just game for 14 hours. Well, it's just weird.
I'm gaming all day tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. You're a jerk.
Well, I kind of see where both sides are coming from. And for me, I generally know what type of play style I am, especially in multiplayer games.
Okay.
And, you know,
which is what?
For instance,
Soldier 76 for this one, I think.
Maybe the sniper class.
Okay. There's two snipers, so, Hanzo and Widowmaker.
Yeah. So something that's more focused on skill. And or maybe team support. I generally get the bitch role because I'm the girl. But if it's it's either very aggressive or very passive.
Gotcha.
And it's never the bulky barbarian and or
that's usually Chad.
Or
Chad
machinery.
Likes to play that.
Yeah.
Just because it just goes against the innate femininity that I want to experience.
No, for sure. There's never a big bulky chick in any game except for
well, Overwatch has got the girl.
No, yeah, she's a warrior. Yeah, yeah.
Z, what's her name?
Zartana or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
What character would you recommend then? Given that, so probably Widowmaker. I would say Widowmaker is a hugely popular one. She snipes. But
she also has an assault rifle.
Well, it's the same gun. It's just two different modes on her gun.
So sick.
Yeah, that one's really good. Or
the only thing I don't like about her is her accent.
It's kind of the default one. He's
that's
really
what I was thinking. Because of Counter-Strike?
He's the most Counter-Strike-like guy, for
awesome.
Sure.
Yeah. Or Call of Duty, I guess.
Yeah.
Really.
We'll all be there on there, then.
Bobby, who are you joining or liking?
Wow, that got a chuckle out of Bobby.
Sounds like he has a new character none of us have heard. I put up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right, and I got a new.
Couldn't guess it, but
Mercy.
No, well, she's obviously like the medic.
The freezing chick.
Yeah, the freezing chick.
Yeah.
Oh,
always take an ice character, like in games like this. I don't know why. I love the whole freezing thing. And her mechanic of being able to freeze people is so similar to Jedi Knight, Mysteries of the Sith. There was a carbonite gun in that game.
What
and that was the first time I'd ever seen that kind of mechanic in a game where you can freeze someone and then you can melee them and they just shatter. I thought that was so cool. And I'm sure it's been done 1,000 times since then, since 97.
Yeah, we just did Bioshock a little while ago.
Yeah, well, Bioshock, yeah, they had that. But I really like that, so I immediately started playing
She's
her.
Really good if you play her right, and mm-hmm. she really
sucks. She has the
sucks.
Wall, too, and that reminds me of Ymir and Smite. So, yeah, I gravitate towards her, although I have played a lot of Mercy. Because she's like the medic, but
and
I don't know.
She's got that leap mechanic that's really cool. Do you use that a lot?
I started getting the hang of that.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's really good for drawing fire, like and kind of juking people a little bit. Yeah, yeah, she's enjoyable, but I don't know. I really like to play a lot of characters, and I was just talking to someone the other day about Heroes of the Storm. Surprise, surprise!
Wow,
but. I've been playing so much ETC, which is a warrior, frontliner, disruptor.
Well, wasn't he not good in the meta right now? Or
no,
did
he's always pretty much been good. But okay. He was the first hero that I started playing when I first started playing the game and what I learned the game on. And I didn't play him for a long time, like months and months and months. Didn't even touch him because I played him so much. Then I started playing him again. And he's probably my best hero. And the thing about it is, it's not even that I'm so good with him. It's that I don't get tired of this guy. And that's very rare that you find a character.
Really? A tank? You don't get tired?
No, I mean, I've definitely fell into the warrior role in that game. Like, I've kind of accepted that. That's what I'm good at. But, yeah, it's weird when you have a character that, like, I don't know if I've ever had that before where, in a MOBA or otherwise, where there's just one character that I never get tired of playing. Well, maybe the medic in TF2. I guess that's not true.
Yeah.
I never get tired of that.
I think Overwatch is similar to MOBAs in that the diversity of characters is so large that if you need to find the right character that fits your personality.
Or the right three.
Well, right. For MOBAs, it would be the right three, but this game, there might only be one that, you know, they only have 20 or 22 characters or something like that. So it's not like a MOBA with hundreds.
There's only two kinds of people in this world, Chen.
It's always good.
Me and the wrong ones.
Oh, yeah. Boom. That was quick.
What was that, Chief?
I think in, with a game like this, it's mostly, you know, your primary and at least a secondary, depending on team makeup.
Yeah. But the cool thing with Overwatch is it tells you when you're selecting characters where you're lacking. You're like, it'll tell you, hey, you're missing a sniper or you have too many defensive guys.
And people listen.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
are like, it says, you're too offensive, not enough damage. And people will leave a tank. It's crazy. It levels itself out. It's,
yeah.
I wonder and then if you it's can... that tooltip that does it or if it's just the nature of that game, because nobody does that in TF2. But then again, TF2 is a much more just jump in and shoot a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Don't really be too competitive about it.
Well, TF2 also is like only 9 classes. So I suck as a fucking spy. I would never jump into a spy even if the game's screaming at me to play spy. Like, I would never play spy. But in Overwatch, you know,
you have a lot of choices.
You have a lot of choices. So if they're like, you're too defensive, I'll be like, oh, okay, I got like 6 choices I can pick from to correct that. You know
like,
what I mean?
I really hate healing. I've always hated healing. But there's that Sumatra one. I think that's her name.
Yeah.
And she has turrets. And you guys know that I love turrets and pets, so
yeah.
I can make her work totally.
Does she have a healing with a gun?
She gives everybody armor.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
By looking at them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really easy. Yeah. I don't totally understand the mechanic because you can't do it. As soon as they lose it, you can't give it. I think it's overheal only. I think that's the way it works. Mm-hmm. So it's like a bonus thing. Anyway. Next week, it's going to be all fucking Overwatch. So
yeah, we should probably save all this time.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll delete all that. You guys won't hear a thing. Don't worry about it. All right, what's the last news thing?
A guy accidentally upgrades his computer and loses $67,000 in fucking Bitcoin. Wow. So when he was in college or whatever, you know, this is one of these Reddit stories, so take it with a grain of salt, but it was written like it really actually happened. And it's very likely that it happened. He's, you know, into the computer scene, whatever, when Bitcoin came out, he did some Bitcoin mining and he got 150 Bitcoins and then never really thought about it till after college. And then, you know, he had all these computer parts, whatever. He upgraded his rig, threw out everything else, as you do. I mean, you either recycle it or whatever. And he remembered, oh, I have 150 Bitcoins. They're worth a lot of money now. And so he frantically looked if there's any way to recover them, and there's not. If you don't have the original hard drive, you lose those Bitcoins. There's no... Maybe now you could put them in your Bitcoin wallet or something, but
maybe if you had Game Save Manager,
call back
service for the people.
So, does Bitcoin keep track of that, or does Bitcoin just think there's 150 Bitcoins out there in the world that will never get redeemed?
I think that's it. I think what you just said. I don't think they're ever going to be redeemed.
I always thought Bitcoin, I really don't want to get into a Bitcoin
hole. Yeah, seriously.
Here,
I could answer any question.
I thought that was based off its rarity. So if there are less Bitcoins out there, then they are easier to make, but worth more.
No.
So the more people make, the scarcer it becomes, the price goes up.
So the genius on Bitcoins is that every single time they come out,
I immediately regret asking this question.
Yeah, I know. I regret you asking this question as well.
It's a built-in diminishing returns. There's going to be a day where there's no more Bitcoin.
Yeah, and that was the idea when it was...
Yeah, and it's working towards that day. They're harder and harder to find, and then towards the end, it's going to be no more Bitcoin. So
the fossil of the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But these fossils are worth a lot of money.
It's just they can't be made anymore. They're still going to be out there. There's going to be a certain number of it.
Yeah.
So you can still purchase and, you know, exchange for goods. But
this guy got them in. He looked at his 150 Bitcoins and they were worth like $27 at the time. And he's like, oh, this is never going to be anything, whatever. Didn't really think about it. But now... I mean, this doesn't happen very often.
So you're saying 150 Bitcoins right now is worth $67,000?
Yeah, they're worth like $800 each or something like that.
Jesus.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what? So when I heard a podcast on Bitcoin, I was like trying to tell all my friends that had that have money, like disposable income, go buy some. But it dropped probably $300 a Bitcoin since then. But then now it's starting to climb back up. But it would have been a bad investment when I said for it to do. Mm-hmm. But
not surprising.
Things. Yeah.
This is also the guy that knows UFC and proceeded to lose all five games against me last week and got very drunk, even though I don't watch that much UFC, and I was just betting on the guy that looked bigger.
That totally happened.
All right.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah. So I just want to bring up one last thing. I'm going to try to actively start playing CSGO.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so maybe Chi, you can help me out.
Absolutely. I would love to bring you on, you fucking pleb.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be the guy that I will somehow die before the round starts, and then you'll be like, Chad, what the fuck? What did you do? And I said, I don't know. I just tried to buy a knife and I slit my own throat or something.
No.
So
I don't know. So what I can say about anybody that's trying to start CSGO, especially as a casual, and in fact, I attempted to get my current boyfriend to get into gaming.
And, you say current boyfriend like
you're gonna
like it's a pair of shoes. Like these are my current shoes that I'm wearing.
No. I mean,
okay.
She bought her current shoes a T-shirt.
So
I think
boyfriend. So excuse my terminology,
but fair enough.
My boyfriend, my wonderful boyfriend Max, who isn't a PC gamer by any means, but I recently attempted to get him to start, and I used to have plenty of friends that wanted to game with me, and they're like, Chi, what are you playing? I'm like, oh, I'm playing Counter-Strike. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start that up. They give up almost immediately because I've been playing it for, 12, 13 years, and I'm not quite, pro or anything, but I play like I have so many years of knowledge.
Yeah.
And not only that, there's a ranking system and a huge learning curve and a whole bunch of kids and just dirt that you just have to just crawl through before you're finally at an enjoyable play point with Counter-Strike GO. Right now, for instance, with CSGO, you start at rank 1. And before
and
you
I'll
can
stay
even,
there.
Yeah. And before you can play competitive matches, which is the reason to play CSGO, you have to get to rank 3. And it takes hours upon hours of just playing casual games, pickup games, deathmatch. And there are quicker ways to go about it. They have the mission, the operation coins, which has missions, and it gives you bonus EXP. But it's just starting out in the community. People like me, 10 or people who are already playing competitively with people at the like level, it's harder for people to play with those who are just starting out because then it's just pickup games.
I gotcha.
Generally not as fun as, definitely not as fun as taking it on a competitive level. But if you enjoy the community, then easily you can get to a point where you almost catch fire and want to do well. I found myself literally picking up CSGO after probably 5 years. Like I kind of quit at Source and then came back for CSGO because I was big on 1.6. Source was eh. And then CSGO, when it got good, I was like, wow, I have to somehow, get good at this game in a very short amount of time. And I was spending probably more time watching YouTube videos, picking up pointers, and practicing my aim and shooting than playing competitive games. And it's almost like an ongoing thing where it's like a sport. You really do have to keep yourself fine-tuned. So best of luck. And if you need any
getting
help.
Getting that outside knowledge, I think, is crucial, too, because when I played Smite, I think I brought this comparison up before. When I played Smite, I just played the hell out of that game. That's all I did. Now when I play Heroes, it made a Redditor out of me. I never used Reddit before. Mm-hmm. But now I check that every single day. I read guides. I watch YouTube videos. I've taken all this extra knowledge and try to apply it, and that's made me a significantly better player. And you really need to do that if you want to improve. Otherwise, you get stuck in the status level, like the static level. And I've told so many people that, you know, when they try these comps, I'm like, that's a bad composition. You shouldn't run that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, blah, blah, blah. Well, it worked here. It's like, well, if you want to keep playing at this level, if you want to keep playing Scrubs your whole life, then yeah, stick with it.
But rule number one is stop blaming everybody else. What could you have done better?
Yep.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's rule number one. I'm excited for you, Chad, because this means if...
He's not going to laugh.
It's a good game that will test... It's very tenacious. So like you have to be tenacious in terms of like, do I actually want to be better at FPSs? And CS:GO is the perfect game that once you get good at this one, it basically applies to every other FPS.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say also
give Chad a game to make him better at all other games. CS:GO.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Twitch, aim, strategy, it has it all really.
Yeah.
But I would say 50% of Chad's suckiness all comes down to his, how much room his, oh, I'm going to show you, Chi, before you leave. I know you got to leave soon. I'm going to show you how much room his mouse has. It has 4.5 inches wide by maybe 6 inches long to move around the mouse.
Yeah.
So that means
my sensitivity is not high.
No matter what game he's playing, he can't turn around without lifting his mouse.
No way.
And then starting again.
That is also factually accurate.
Really, yes. This would be a very interesting.
I would say about 40% of his viewable thing per pickup.
But that's like I said, doing. I'll get a new desk with this with my tax return. So
that's half the game itself. Your ergonomic structure, I think. Like, we could put you through a diagnostic of, like, how you need to change.
We can make it bigger, stronger, faster. Yeah.
Well, you heard on the last episode where I was talking about my chair shoving, falling apart and all. So, yeah, I need a new setup over there. So,
by the way, $6 million, man. I feel like that's a pretty good bargain to make a superhero. These days?
Nowadays?
No, but then it seemed like you could buy a country for $6 million.
Yeah, back then that was right? A lot. That was
It should have been like the $6,000 man back then.
Well, he was cybernetic and stuff.
Yeah, I know. $6 million is a lot.
She has no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah.
No. She's a younger generation than us.
So just wrap this bitch up?
Yep.
Cool.
Bobby, you want to spiel it up? Or are we skipping the spiel this time?
DLGaming.net.
Cool. Also, Twitter @ DLGaming.net.
So. No, DOTnet.
DOTnet. DLGaming.
Just go to DLGaming.net, click on the Twitter.
Yep. Or that.
Yep.
Bobby is not going to be here next week because he's quitting right after this one.
Oh, my goodness.
Chi, you got anything?
Well, no.
Do your Twitch.
Oh, yeah, of course. Don't forget to check me out tomorrow. I'll be twitching. twitch.tv/smoochi, SMOOXCHI. Super excited. Just make sure you say hello in chat and tell me that you found me through DL Gaming.
Won't be out till Tuesday, but thank you for that.
Yeah, you want to wear it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll model the t-shirt.
Sweet. Cool.
All right. Chad, you got anything?
Nope.
All right, so I'm going to wrap this up with a lowdown Motown for your love and purposes. Speaking for Chad, Bobby, Chi, and Sammy. Motherfucking titties, everybody. See you next week.
Hey everyone, this is Chi, also known as Smoochie. I'm here with Bobby,
hey,
also known as Digi, and we are starting our one-on-one interview, and I'm super excited to get to know Bobby a little bit better. You guys probably know so much more about him, and since I'm new to the team, I'm excited to find out more. So a lot of the questions that I will be asking are similar to what I asked Emilio. And I did kind of verify my questions according to what I already know about Bobby as well. So Bobby, my first and foremost question is, Digi, you go by Digi other than Bobby. So mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about your gamer tag and the story behind it.
That's a good question. It's always interesting to hear what how people came up with their screen name. I think in our mm-hmm. second ever episode, we talked about it. But my nickname actually is kind of a name I picked up when I was younger, and it comes from the Wu-Tang Clan, which, back when I was younger, me and my friends would all, this is like before cell phones, so we would all hang out in kind of the backwoods area of San Diego, and we would drink and listen to rap music. And so I don't know, I guess that name, because my name was
Pretty
Bobby.
Badass.
Yeah. So they just started calling me Bobby Digital kind of as a joke. And then the fact that I was really into computers, it seemed a little more fitting. So it just kind of stuck. So I probably had that nickname for going on 12 years now. It's kind of a relic. And most people will recognize it, but not always.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I would not thank you and your friends in the woods drinking and listening to rap and probably shooting empty blanks would lead to the name Digi. So that's really cool. No, just kidding. Or emptying bullets or no, just kidding. So thanks for describing a little bit more about your name. Describe your history with video games. So when did Bobby become Digi? When did you become a gamer?
Always. Very early. Like Atari 2600, Nintendo. Just from the beginning, it was always something that I gravitated to. And the console gaming phase did not last very long with me. I mean, that lasted maybe up to the mid-90s. And then right when I started playing PC games, it was just so obvious to me, like, oh, there's so much more I can do with this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, getting into PC gaming kind of in turn got me into computers in general. And that's kind of where my career went off. Oh. So I guess I have my gaming addiction to thank for my professional career as well. So, yeah, I can't remember. There have been times in my life where I have not gamed as much. Like I've kind of like waned on and off, but it's been pretty consistent. The only one time that I dipped back into consoles was probably, I don't know, the mid-2000s when Guitar Hero got really big. And I bought a PlayStation 2 just to play Guitar Hero, just for my friends to come over and play that game. So that was really the only time I went back to it. But yeah.
That's a good error for, I think that's a good error to return to console gaming, at least for a brief moment in time. And I know that's, and I think it's really interesting that you first, you know, once you turned yourself onto PC gaming, you got big into computers in general. So diving into that a little bit, you said it kind of opened up what you do for a professional career. What is that? What's your life outside of the podcast? What do you do in relation to the hardware, since you're the hardware man?
Yeah, I kind of got stuck with that. And I don't know if I'm like fully qualified for that title or if I'm just, you know, I know a little bit more than Chad and Amelia, so I got stuck with that title. But yeah, I've had a lot of interesting jobs in the past. And currently I have a very long title at my job, but I'm a network systems media support technician. It barely fits on my badge.
Yeah.
But I work in a middle school, and it's really cool because I teach one class and I get to work with students like really one-on-one with them. And it's a fun class. I teach them how to do video editing and work with that kind of software. So that's cool. It's a fun part of my job. But then also I'm responsible for just keeping all the computers up and running. And if you've, I don't know when the last time you've been in a classroom, but a lot's changed since I was in school. They have these things called interactive whiteboards. They have document cameras, which are like, you know, they used to have the old, what do they call that? Projector. I can't think of the name now, but
overhead projector.
Yeah. Now they have document cams, which are like webcams built into something. There's all this technology and it always breaks and it never works. And, you know, kids are kids. So this stuff gets used constantly and it breaks constantly. So yeah, I'm responsible for keeping all that up and running. And, it's a pretty demanding job, but it's also really cool because I'm around kids a lot and kids love video games and I get their perspective on gaming. So, I definitely enjoy that.
Yeah, plant the seed while they're young. Got to grow the generation, right?
Yeah.
Gotta, it's like, this is the new online generation of pleb boys.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? Kids, you just want to cuss at and murder.
yeah. And I totally see those kids, too. And around that age group that I work with, Counter-Strike Go is extremely popular. I mean, obviously Minecraft, mm-hmm. They tend to grow out of Minecraft as they get older, I've noticed.
Yeah.
But Counter-Strike Go is huge.
Yeah, I started when I was in middle school, so it's a great place to do a lot of shit and trash talking when you can't really get allowed with it anywhere else. CSGO is basically like it's almost therapeutic for one's rebellious soul. So I get it. Yeah. And that's awesome. I think that's great that you work with the children. So now another question pertaining to basically your history with PC gaming. What PC game was it that attracted you to sticking out PC gaming as a whole?
It's one that a lot of people have heard me talk about, and I think Chad and Emilio are sick of me bringing it up. But
four-letter word.
Yeah, Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight was definitely.
Oh, never mind. There you go.
No, not the other one.
I was assuming Doom. So.
Doom was very big, but the reason I always pick Jedi Knight as my all-time favorite game is because that's when. That was the point of no return for me. That was the first game I ever got into modding. And, you know, modding is something very specific to PC. Mm-hmm. You can't do that on console. And that was the game that just really opened me up. That was the game where I stopped playing with a keyboard and I started using a mouse. So it was a really significant game in my history.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing on that one. So, it's like what I love, and I know you use the word, it's like you guys generally drop the word older, like being an older gamer. I don't think you guys are older. I think for our generation has grown as gamers, and I've come across more like age individuals than I do younger kids, depending on which games I choose to play. Being where we are now at our age and gaming, how do you feel about keeping gaming as a part of your world for as long as you have? And how long has it been, would you say?
How long have I been gaming? Like, how long has it been a part of my world?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, pretty much as long as I can remember. But I can't imagine a point in my life where I will stop playing video games. And I think a lot of people are in that boat, too. You know, we do like kind of mention how old we are and, you know, how sometimes that can seem a little bit weird. But I think there's a whole generation of people that have grown up with, PC games, console games, all sorts of gaming, and having that being like a common factor in their life. And they're going to continue to age and still play. And even, you know, the game I play the most now, Heroes of the Storm, I'm noticing that the community is a lot older than I was used to with other games. And I think I kind of feel like everyone's just growing up with me and playing games. So,
and then for me too, and what I've noticed is that I still play my games entirely the same. I just interact with others a little bit differently. It's like I'm enjoying the game all the same, but my maturity level has changed, and therefore just my social, the way I socially interact with others, it's a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are you more of a, would you consider yourself more of a social gamer nowadays, or do you like the single player elements to a lot of the different games that you're trying out now?
No, I would definitely say social gamer. I get bored very quickly of single player games, and it's specifically for that reason. Like if I'm not communicating with people or interacting with people, it just, I don't even want to say I get bored of it. I get lonely. So yeah, I really do enjoy the social aspect of games.
Yeah, no, good way to put it. Not just getting bored, but also getting lonely. I like that. All right. So of course you have a lot of friends to game with. I'm looking at your Steam profile now. I believe you're at 1961 as we speak. Wow. Yeah. Your Steam page is amazing. I know you get millions of questions about how you've raised up the level as high. I'll avoid asking you that question, but what do you think your profile says about you as a gamer?
Well, I was kind of going for certain colors. Sometimes I would go for a certain theme with my profile. And honestly, I haven't updated it in quite some time. And I think that picture of my computer on there is pretty dated too. I really got to update it, but I do like it. And I think the message that I'm throwing out, well, not necessarily the message I'm throwing out there, but I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say with that.
What would you say about yourself if somebody, some stranger just came across your Steam profile, saw a glimpse of, and how would you basically explain yourself? Because you have an extraordinary profile. In fact, compared to the 300 that I have on my list, you know, there, you and maybe with the exception of one are kind of like on that level in terms of amount of games, amount of badges, and just the amount of content on your page.
I don't know. If I were to see that page and it wasn't mine, like if I was going to psychoanalyze that, then I don't know. I guess it says that I'm really into gaming. Like, that's definitely important. The Wolfenstein is kind of that 80s theme that I really like in games. And I don't know. It's kind of flashy. I really like those colors. Like, I don't know. I'm just going through a phase with teal and like the green and blue.
But, that's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's almost like I need a Papa Molly and turn on some music to even just like stare at your profile. It's gonna start strobing at me. So,
But I will say this: like I've kept it purposely simple because when you jump every 10 levels, you get another slot or something where you can show something off. So you reach the cap at a certain point. Right now, I could show off all my stuff. Like, you can list your favorite game, you can list your favorite group, all these things. And if you look at some people's profiles, they're very long. So I don't know. I try to keep mine short. Like, screenshots, I think that's cool. Favorite group, obviously I'm promoting the podcast with that. The only thing I'm considering putting up on there additionally is favorite game. And that, of course, would be Jedi Knight.
All right. Awesome. Alrighty, so now when it comes to the games that you have, I want to know, what's the game that you think every gamer should have played at least once?
At least once. That would be a tie between Team Fortress 2 and Left 4 Dead 2.
Ooh.
I think those are just, I don't know. I think Left 4 Dead 2, I don't know if I've ever gone on record saying this, but I think that's probably the best, if not the best game ever made. Like, that just hit at the right time with the whole zombie theme, but also with the whole co-op thing. And that, I mean, if Jedi Knight was a turning point for me back in the 90s, then Left 4 Dead, I should say, was another turning point for me, because that's when I just became addicted to that social aspect of games we talked about earlier. Like, the co-op in that just was unreal. And after that, there's no way I could go back to like a single player game and enjoy it the same.
Oh my gosh. And I love that answer. In fact, I think I would have responded in the same exact way, strictly on Left 4 Dead and or Left 4 Dead 2. Like, your response, like, no lie, I'm such a nerd, I got goosebumps. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel the same way.
It still holds up. Like, that game, like, you can go back and play that now and it's still so much fun.
I will let you know, as you know, I'm a Twitch streamer, and my obsession with Twitch is to find and follow Left 4 Dead streamers. I actually, when I am looking for new gamers to check out, I am checking out Left 4 Dead 2 players. A majority of my friends still to this day predominantly play Left 4 Dead, and I will do the occasional Left 4 Dead pickup game too. It's the one game where anybody from any category of skill and or experience with shooters, I can, you know, we can hop in and just have a great time. And it's one of the best games to get to know the people you're gaming with.
Oh, yeah.
So, great response in that one. I would clap into the mic, if I could for you. So speaking of social games and social elements, so have you played any MMOs, at all? And, which ones were they?
World of Warcraft was the big one. Quite a bit of that, and that was right during the peak, 2006, 2007. I purposely avoided that game for a long period of time because I knew how addictive it was, and I didn't want to just become obsessed with it.
And, did that work?
For a little while, and I remember making the choice to say, okay, I'm going to try this game out, and that was after the South Park episode of
World of Warcraft.
I was like, all right, this is like mainstream now, I gotta give it a try. And as soon as I tried it, I was hooked. And it was like that for quite some time. And finally kicked that habit. And it just, I think that ruined other MMOs for me. Chad has this problem as well. We play other MMOs and we're just like,
Always comparing it to WoW. Yeah. It's like that. It's like your favorite ex-girlfriend, World of Warcraft. I get it. So I'm curious to know. So in WoW or in any other MMO, you know how you have your five man and everybody has their obligation, whether it's tank, DPS, and or supporting classes. What was your class? Like, what's your ideal pick? Like, even with Overwatch coming up and all the other games with similar, like, roles, who do you generally gravitate towards?
Well, in World of Warcraft and in Heroes of the Storm, I play tank, typically. A paladin. If I ever get the option to play a paladin, I always take paladin. I don't know why, but in dwarves too, like dwarves. But classes, yeah, positions. It's always the tank or the warrior, and I like that because it's kind of the leader and you kind of lead the group. And I don't know, DPS always seemed like a dime a dozen to me. Heals was just like clicking. But I don't know. Maybe that's not something I stick with, because in Team Fortress 2, I play medic. And that was just came out of necessity because nobody ever wanted to play medic. So I was just like, well, someone's got to do it right.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, I kind of actually assumed that of you. Like, I was like, if I was going to put money down on something, I would say the tank class. So it's pretty cool that you said paladin, but something in a leadership type role. I see that being very fitting for you too. So lately, though, I want to know, what games are your current addiction? Are you allowed to even be addicted to games then, considering the different titles you have to dabble through with DL Gaming, and currently why are you kind of clinging onto what you're playing now?
It's been a solid run of, well, obviously Heroes of the Storm. I mean, that's just like a staple at this point, but Stardew Valley as well, Doom, and I have a few games that I just constantly go back to. You know, for the podcast, we try to cycle through as many games as possible and just get a lot of exposure, but I have a few games that I just really like and will go back to for a little bit here and there, one of those being Killing Floor 2, and then Overwatch coming up, very excited about that. Just a lot of shooters I'm noticing. Like, I really like first-person shooters.
Yeah, and especially being a social gamer, I can kind of see the connection there. If someone is a social gamer, they're playing an FPS. It's almost, or an MMO, but I feel like most of the social gamers gravitate towards either being hardcore FPS or really only playing one MMO game a majority of the time. So, and of course, Overwatch, I'm excited. Hopefully I get to see how you play. We've never played a game together. So
in fact,
all four of us have never played a game together. So I think Overwatch might be a great introduction into seeing how everybody's play style. So, so beyond that, what is one of your most memorable, what is one of your most memorable, we're going to move a little bit further away from gaming and maybe more into podcast questions now. What's one of your most memorable podcast moments? It doesn't have to be recent or anything at all. What's one time where you were sitting in the studio with the guys and you're like, this is something I'm so glad that we've been doing, and what was it, and what was so special about it? This is the most drawn out question ever.
Well, I don't know if it would be a moment that I had when we were actually doing the podcast, but I mean, I'll never forget that moment. The first time somebody had ever contacted me and just said, like, hey, I've been listening to your podcast. It's really cool, man. Keep up the good work. Like, just something as simple as that. And that was, I believe, I don't know if he still listens or not, possibly, but I believe his name was Benjamin Lee. That was his screen name. And this was like maybe a month or two in it, because when Emilio and I started this, we were just like, we didn't know if anybody was going to listen. We were just going to put it out there, it's and like just cross crickets, our fingers.
Anyone out there?
Yeah.
That's great, though. I would say I've definitely had those moments as well through Twitch, and it's the reason why I still haven't given up on it. I've gone on numerous hiatuses. I have to applaud you guys for never really going on these hiatuses. You've been so consistent with the stream. But there are certain viewers that I've connected with where I've been comfortable enough to even share my cell phone number with. And every now and then I'd get these little texts just saying, hey, you know, haven't seen you on in a while, just hoping that things are okay, wishing you the best, or even like, you know, some holiday cheer. Like it's nice because it's not just a production, you're actually reaching out to people and they're reaching back out to you. And it's, so I can relate to that feeling. And, I'm excited to hear, I'm excited to see, I'm excited to see in the future how things will continue to grow for you guys. So I feel like I'm coming late in the stage. But I still feel like things are only going to be bigger and better in time too for you guys. So, all right. Beyond the podcast, do you ever bring up your podcast to strangers? Do they ask, and how do you talk about it in the real life, as people would say?
I'm so bad about self-promotion. Like anytime, because I've run into people, I'll wear a bunch of like EVGA shirts or NVIDIA shirts. Like I'm very outspoken, I guess, about, at least with my apparel, about my gaming habits. So I'll constantly get people like talking to me or commenting on that. And like sometimes I'll bring up the podcast, but I'm so bad at shameless self-promotion. Like every time I try to tell them about it, I'm just like, yeah, you know, it's this thing me and my friends do, you know, it's nothing fancy, you know, like I always downplay it. But, and then obviously working around kids, some of the kids have asked, some of the kids know I do it and they've asked about it, but, I don't think kids that age, and I don't even think kids like under 20 really listen to podcasts. It seems like
more or know what it is.
Yeah. Well, they probably know what it is. I think it's, people are getting more familiar with what a podcast is, but to listen to someone talk for like an hour and a half, I mean, that's not something, a lot of younger people want to do. And that's probably because for me, when I was in school, like I couldn't wait to get away from that. And then finally when I did, it's just like, I needed this break, like just not taking any school for a while, cause I was just so sick of instruction and, just having people talk at me. So I kind of understand that, but, yeah. So anyway, back to the original question. Yeah. I will bring it up if I run into people and mention it, but you know, it's very hard to find that slice of the Venn diagram, because there's people who listen to podcasts and there's people who PC game, but to get both of those together is very difficult.
Yeah. It's a pretty small niche. And it's especially out in public, it's hard to really, find the two and two, to promote. But how do you feel about, online promotion? Are you, do you feel the same way about being a little reserved and pretty much, talking about yourself, or what, what areas do you feel like if, looking at the podcast now, like what areas do you feel like you definitely want to grow more so?
You know, I'm not sure about advertising. That's always been something that we discuss. Like, how do we get ourselves out there more? And, we've tried various things, but, you know, for me, I always encourage just something natural, because I know I really hate when I have that feeling that someone's trying to sell me a bill of goods, you know, like they're really trying to push something on me in like a disingenuous way. So, like for me, my biggest, and I haven't been doing a good job of this lately, but for me, like, I think the biggest thing that we can do is just kind of promote ourselves through the community, and do that by, you know, reaching out to people, number one, gaming with people. Just, you know, talking to them, interacting with them, you know, just being kind of figures. And, you know, Steam, even though it's not really publicized that much, Steam has like an activity feed where people post screenshots, they post comments, you know, it's kind of like Facebook or even Twitter. And I used to be a lot more active on there. And, you know, that's our audience right there. So it's the perfect people to market to.
Yeah. That's awesome. No, and I definitely agree with you when it comes to disingenuous. I'm hoping that I said that right. That's one of the biggest challenges that I have, even with what I do, with anything else, whether it's a personal profile, like I've completely almost abandoned Facebook, or with my Twitch profile, I almost feel bad by not being self-marketing and or promoting. I'm almost doing a disservice to my existing audience because it's not allowing me to pull in more like-minded individuals. So maybe if you think about it that way, you know, do yourself up to do it for the fans, because I'm sure they'd be interested in talking, you know, having that, you know, that like topic to talk about too. So, and I'm super excited to see, like, as you know, once the audience starts growing, then that's when you guys can really grow as well. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know DL Gaming means Digital Logic Gaming, and it's named after you. Is that correct?
Not really. It's digital, obviously, from my name, and then logic from Emilio's screen name. So we just combined the two. And that wasn't the original idea. We wanted to call it the Not-So-PC Gamer podcast. And that was our original title. And someone was using it at the time, like some random podcast that I don't think anyone was listening to. And we should have just ran with that name or something, but we went with Digital Logic. We spent so much time trying to come up with a name, and finally we just kind of gave up and settled on that. But DL Gaming, I mean, it works.
That's awesome. In fact, and it's funny, I actually brought up DL Gaming when I was wearing our new t-shirts, and someone saw DL Gaming and they're like, what, download gaming? What does that mean? You know, so what would you personally change the name to? Would you change it to the Not So PC podcast again, or what would the next name be if you could pick one?
I don't know, because I remember telling Emilio when we started this, I was like, it really doesn't matter what name we pick, because eventually it's just going to fit us and it's just going to be like, you know, that's it. And everybody knows what it is. It's like not even going to be a big deal. Like the name isn't, I think I was saying the name's not even a big deal, but I don't know, maybe the Not So PC Gamer podcast. And like that was Emilio's idea originally, because he wanted to quote, get real on the podcast or something. Like his idea. And you know, it's one of our founding ideas is that, you know, we say whatever the hell we want. And no matter how incorrect or offensive or whatever it may be. And you know, that's been kind of the vibe throughout the thing. So yeah, maybe that title would fit. I don't know if that would look too good on a t-shirt, but yeah, whatever.
We'll see. It makes sense. I love it. Whatever changes do come down the future, I'm sure everyone would support it all the same. So, so this is what going to be my last question for you. And, you know, seeing where the podcast is now and being such, I mean, after so many years of doing this podcast, you know, what do you feel about where you guys are at now, and what are you hopeful for in your future?
The obvious answer to that is more listeners, and that's something we've always tried really hard to get, is just more people listening. And to me, that hasn't been as important as just, I don't know, the fact that somebody is listening. I mean, the fact that we are on a first name basis with a lot of our listeners, and that we have kind of a closer relationship, you know, especially Emilio is doing a lot of the outreach stuff. Like we know our listeners so well, and we've kind of built this community, and I'm not so much concerned about the numbers as much as I'm concerned about that kind of homegrown grassroots feeling that we have going on right now. So I'm really happy with where we're at. I mean, shit, we got t-shirts and, you know, the website's looking good. And, you know, stuff's happening. We've got, you know, Team Tom writing articles on our website. Mm-hmm. Like shit's great. You know, I'm fantastic. If we have more listeners, awesome. Bring them on, you know, like that would be great as well.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm very content.
That's awesome. And I would have to say, and what I've seen from, you know, just dabbling and, you know, and coming in and interviewing with you guys and getting to know you guys, is that it's really a community that you guys have created here, whether small or however large you can get. And I think that's one thing that I truly appreciate about, you know, you guys opening up and allowing me to come on board. It's just that little community, or as big as we can try to get it, of where people for, you know, it's just of people of like interest and what it seems your listeners are dedicated and you guys are dedicated. And that's what, I see and I appreciate the most out of DL Gaming. And, I'm excited to, be a part of the team.
Oh yeah. Well, so we're happy to have you aboard.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. So, you know, that wraps up the questions that I had in general for you. And, you know, I'm super enthused about, all the things, good things to come for DL Gaming. And it's great to get to know a little bit more about your gamer personality. Now all we have to do is get in a game together and, kick ass and have some fun. All right. Thank you so much, Bobby, for joining.